The text is the gospel reading from St. John 16. Jesus says, "Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Here ends the text. What do you think today is all about? If you go by the inserts translation, it's about the counselor arriving. That's how the 1984 NIV translates Parakletos. The four of the five times it appears in Greek, they translate it counselor. The last time the NIV translates one who comes to our defense. The 2011 NIV translates all five times advocate. I like the consistency, as I said in an earlier sermon, but let's not miss the comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 calls the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ the God of all comfort, paraklesis, who comforts, parakleo, us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort, parakleo, those in any trouble with the comfort, paraklesis, we ourselves have received from God. Now you could translate advocate in all those places, but to me that mutes the comfort. Perhaps Luther captures both by translating one called to the side of the guilty. Now that's comforting. Today we celebrate the Spirit comforting us by convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Yeah, right. That's comforting. But that's what our text teaches. We're to be comforted by the fact that the Spirit is at work convicting the world of sin. Note carefully what Jesus says. He doesn't say the world convicts some or part of the world, but the world. You know what that means, don't you? The Spirit's convicting of sin can't refer to outward sins. I mean, you don't need the Spirit for that, do you? Don't courts of law convict murderers and rapists? Doesn't society convict drunkards and drug addicts? Doesn't our culture convict laziness and child abusers? The world, without the Spirit, does just fine convicting people of all sorts of outward sins. But the world does not convict, the whole world of sin as the Spirit is said to. Courts of law don't indict everyone for murder and or rape. Society doesn't convict everyone of being a drunk or a junkie. Our culture never implies that all are lazy or abused children. No, the world, in fact, is not able to convict all people of anything. But Jesus says the Spirit convicts the world, no exceptions. The Spirit is able to convict the whole world concerning sin. Why? Because the world doesn't believe in Jesus. That's what our text says. People imagine that the sins of the world are such as they can be dealt with by them. Not doing this, doing that. But that's not what Jesus says. He says the world's problem is unbelief. It's not just that their hands do this, or their feet go there, or their mouth says this. It's their unbelieving hearts. And no one can do anything about an unbelieving heart. Not even us. When Jesus says the Spirit convicts the world concerning sin because it doesn't believe in him, he's talking about us too. World means world. Unbelief is our problem as church members, as lifelong Lutherans. It's not that we're doing this wrong or not doing that right. Then our problem, that'd be very manageable. Then we would just adjust our behavior and our hearts would be comforted. No, our problem along with the rest of the world is that we don't believe in Jesus. We don't fear him above all things. We fear punishment for our sins. We don't love him above all things. We love ourselves. We don't trust in him. No, we trust in money. We trust in men. We trust in a COVID-19 vaccine. We're anxious because we don't believe Jesus when he says, let not your hearts be troubled. And when he says, I will not leave you as orphans, we say, oh, yes, you have. Of course, the answer to unbelief is faith, right? Just get out there and start believing and you'll be comforted. You won't be so depressed. That's how the world reasons and a good many churches in the world. But an unbelieving heart can't decide to start believing any more than a dead person can decide to start living. Besides, that's not where Jesus points us. The answer to not believing is not deciding to believe. No, the answer to this unbelief that is in the very fiber of the world, us included, is the Spirit convicting people of righteousness. Again, Jesus cannot be speaking of what the world regards as righteousness. He can't be saying the Spirit convinces the world of what righteous living is. Who needs the Spirit for that? AA convicts people of what sobriety looks like. The Boy Scouts convict people that righteousness is doing a good turn daily. The Masonic Lodge displays an undeniable righteousness with their free Shriner hospitals. The Spirit is not needed to convince the world that helping sick children and putting on free circuses is very righteous indeed. The Spirit convicts people of a righteousness not seen or felt, a righteousness totally hidden from the world. And pick up your ears now. One totally hidden from Christians too. A righteousness that we have no feeling of, no sense of, one that no matter how hard we look for, we can't find. Right about now, a tiny sliver of sunshine ought to be breaking through those thick, dismal clouds hovering in your gloomy minds. Those clouds are there because you always fall short of the world's righteousness. You trip over the 12 steps. You don't do a daily good turn or meet even your own goals. You sure don't do as much good as the Masonic Lodge does. What can there be in the world for you but despair? You don't measure up. You're not the mother, the father, the employee, the citizen, the church member, or person that you ought to be. Wait a minute. The Spirit knows of a righteousness unknown, unseen, unfelt by the world, and even by those who actually have it. The Spirit convicts the world of righteousness because Jesus goes to the Father. Jesus descended from heaven to keep the law for us and to pay for our not keeping it. The Father put all the laws and all the sins on Jesus. Jesus couldn't enter heaven until all those laws were kept perfectly and all those sins were paid for. Good Friday was payday. Easter was the Father stamping paid in full on sin's bill. On ascension, Jesus, the God-man, was received back into heaven, taking our human nature with him. On Pentecost, the Spirit came with the news that God regards the world as righteous because Jesus is back in heaven. Note well, I did not say that in Jesus God regards us, the church, or believers as righteous. I said he regards the world as righteous. There is a righteousness in Jesus that covers the world. There is a holiness, a perfection for sinners that no law can touch, no sin can taint. There is a righteousness in the ascended Christ that the world cannot refute by pointing to this law or that sin. In Christ, there is a righteousness, innocence, and blessedness that lasts forever and ever. Lift up your hearts. That's what the Spirit calls. Those of you who have this never-ending sense of what a terrible person you are, those of you who have this sense of what a weak Christian you are, those of you who have this feeling of what a poor wife, husband, child, or person you are, the Spirit wants to convict you of a righteousness that is safe and secure for you in heaven. You need not despair because you do not see it. You do not need to be depressed because you do not feel it. You do not need to worry that you have no indication of it. You're not supposed to. It's hidden in Christ, who is no longer visible. And that can't be felt in your heart because it's not in there. It's in God's heart. But that's not good enough for the world. The world demands proof, works, evidence. The world looks for these in us. Well, it doesn't find them. The world finds more evidence of righteousness in Girl Scouts selling cookies, in the Shriners building hospitals, in the alcoholics sobering up, than it ever finds in Christians. The world judges that our righteousness is lacking. It's true, we don't build homes like Habitat for Humanity does. We don't provide food like Meals on Wheels do. We don't provide shelter in the storm like Red Cross does. Face it, our church is second rate in regard to helping people. Don't you feel guilty for not doing more? So the world, the devil, and our own conscience preach to us. And in our despair, we're ever tempted to give up the righteousness that is found in the ascended Christ and establish our own based on the world's criteria. Thanks be to God, then, that the Holy Spirit rescues us from this by convicting the world concerning its judgment process. Yes, the Spirit is a great defense attorney. The other meaning of Parakletos. He objects in the court of God, saying that the world has gone beyond its jurisdiction. The world can make judgments in regard to outward righteousness, but it has no right to say what is righteous before God. The world can say this outward act is good or bad, but this is nothing more than judging by appearances. Jesus in John 7:24 rejects judging by appearances. Only God is able to judge what is truly righteous before him. What the world judges means nothing to him. Jesus, by ascending to the Father, has thrown the world and its ruler off the judgment seat. If only we would take this message to heart, we would save ourselves much heartache and have much comfort. The world judges you to be a poor mother because you're not perfect. The prince of this world judges you to be a poor Christian because you don't do more for others. The prince of this world continually tries to haul you into court where he can declare you guilty of not being righteous enough. But the Spirit teaches that you don't have to listen to the world or its prince. Yes, the Spirit teaches us that the prince of this world no longer sits on the judgment seat. The man Jesus does. The Comforter says you can go by his word, not by the world's. His word declares your sins forgiven. His word declares your sins removed from you as far as east is from the west. His word declares that God can't find one sin of yours that you need to be punished for. His word declares that God can't find one law of his not kept by Jesus that you need to keep before you can be forgiven. His word declares that though the world and its prince line up to accuse you, God doesn't listen to them. He listens to the blood of Jesus, which, unlike Abel's blood, pleads for pardon, not vengeance. The world's answer to a person being uncomfortable is for that person to do something. Party, relax, think positive, or even believe. The Spirit's answer is to bring to people what Jesus has done. He has ascended into heaven, establishing righteousness. He has condemned the devil forever, removing him from the judgment seat. There is doubt in whatever I do. There is comfort in what Jesus has done. That's why the Holy Spirit focused on the latter and not on the former. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.